Yesterday we have discussed about Markandeya Rishi's story, activities, his prayers to Narayan Rishi, his seeing Lord's illusory energy, and his meeting with Uma and Shiva. Now in the 11th chapter, Saunaka Rishi is asking this question about Kriya Yoga. So he knows that Markandeya Rishi is a very expert personality in this Kriya Yoga, in worshipping the Lord. So I want to know about the details. So I want to know about that Mahapurusha being worshipped. So he's asking. Sri Shaunaka Uvacha, Athemam Artham Pruchhamo, Bhavantam Bahuvittamam, Samastatantra Radhante Bhavan Bhagavata Tattvavit.
Sri Shaunaka said, O Suta, you are the best of the learned men and a great devotee of the Supreme Lord. Therefore, we now inquire from you about the definitive conclusion of all Tantra scriptures.
So, you want to know about the conclusion of all this Tantra scriptures. Radhante means conclusions, definitive conclusions. Tantrikah paricharyayam kevalasya shriyah pateh angopanga yudha kalpam kalpayanti yatha chayaihi tanno varnaya badramte kriyayogam bubhutsatam Yena kriya naipunena martyo yayad amartyatam.
All good fortune to you. Please explain to us who are very eager to learn the process of Kriya Yoga practiced through regulated worship of the Transcendental Lord, the husband of the Goddess of Fortune. Please also explain how the Lord's devotee conceive of his limbs, associates weapons and ornament in terms of particular material representations. By expertly worshipping the Supreme Lord, a mortal can attain immortality.
So, please explain to us about Kriya Yoga, its angas, upangas, then akalpam, right? So, Kriya Yoga is practiced by regulated worship of this Mahapurusha or the Transcendental Lord. And this Anga, Upanga and Ayudha, right, they are considered, like Anga is Lord's lotus feet, then Upanga is Lord's other limbs, right, Garuda and all other associates of the Lord are considered Lord's Upangas. If you read Chaitanya Charitamrita also, Yagne hi sankirtana prayahi yajantu hi simedasa. How does it begin? Krishna varnan tusha akrishnam sangopanga astra parshadam. Sa anga upanga astra parshadam. So here anga and upanga are like, anga is like, literally it means bodily limb. And anga can also mean one's dearmost beloved personality. Several times in Bhagavatam, the speaker addresses the hearer as Anga, right? So that's a very affectionate address. Tathapi kirtayami Anga, tathamati yathashrutam. So here Anga is associate of the Lord. Here it also is limb of the Lord. So Anga is Lord's lotus feet. Upanga is Lord's secondary limb, such as associates like Garuda. Then Ayudha is his Sudarshan weapon. Then Akalpam is ornaments like Kaustubhamani, etc. So, Markandeya was expert in this Kriya Yoga, this worship, by which he made the Lord visible. Right? Yena Kriya Naipunena Martyo Yayat Amartyatam. Martya, a mortal person, can attain immortality by this Kriya Yoga. Please explain the details. Now, Suta Goswami is explaining. Namaskritya Gurun Vakshye Vibhutir Vaishnavir Api Yah Prokta Veda Tantrabhyam Acharyaihi Padmajadibhi.
Suta Goswami said, offering obeisances to my spiritual master, I shall repeat to you the description of the opulences of Lord Vishnu, given in the Vedas and Tantras by great authorities, beginning from lotus-born Brahma.
So he is first offering obeisances to gurus, spiritual masters, to understand the meaning of what guru actually instructed. So first offering obeisances, then he began describing the form of this Mahapurusha, universal form. So 5 to 9 is the description of this Virat Purusha. Mayadhyairnavabhistatvaihi Savikaramayo Virat Nirmito drishyate yatra Sachikte bhavanatrayam.
The universal form of the personality of Godhead includes the 9 basic elements of creation, starting with the unmanifest nature and their subsequent transformation. Once this universal form is instilled with consciousness, the 3 planetary system become visible within it.
So, Virat Rupa manifestation, universal form manifestation with this 9 basic elements. So here the number 9 is mentioned. One of the previous chapter 7 is mentioned. Okay, earlier say 5 is mentioned. So basically, these are all elements, ingredients for this element, this creation of this universe. Right. Here Prakriti, Sutra Tattva, Mahatattva, False Ego, and 5 Tanmatras. These are the 9 elements mentioned here. Etadvai Paurusham Rupam Bhupadau Dyaushriyo Nabha Nabhisuryo Kshini Nase Vayu Karnau Disha Prabhu Prajapati Prajananam Apano Mrityurishutu Tadbahavo Lokapala Manaschandro Bhruvavyama Lajjottaro Dharo Lobho Dantadyotsna Smayo Brahma Romani Bhuruha Bhaumno Megha Purusha Murdhajaha.
This is the representation of the Supreme Lord as the universal person, in which the earth is his feet, the sky his navel, the sun his eyes, the wind his nostril, and the demigods of procreation his genitals, that his anus, and the moon his mind. The heavenly planet are his head, the directions his ears, and the demigods protecting the various planets his many arms. The god of death is his eyebrows, shame is his lower hip, greed his upper lip, delusion his smile, and moonshine his teeth. While the trees are almighty Purusha's bodily hairs, and the clouds the hairs of his head.
These are all the limbs of the Lord, Anga. Next, they are all considered non-different from him. All the various limbs of this universal body are considered non-different from the Lord. Then, 9th verse. Yavan ayam vai purusho Yavatya samsthaya matihi Mitaha Tavan asa api maha Purusho loka samsthaya.
Just as one can determine the dimension of an ordinary person of this world by measuring his various limbs, one can determine the dimension of the Mahapurusha by measuring the arrangement of the planetary system within his universal form.
So, Lord is actually immeasurable, but when he manifests this universal form, the universal dimensions could be measured to some extent. And even great souls who have some knowledge of the measurements of the universe, how various planetary systems are there, what is the structure of this Bhumandala, what are the measurements of each islands and mountains, etc. They also say that we can give only some details, not complete details. That's what Sukadeva Goswami told in the 5th canto, after giving all the details of this universal planetary systems, etc. So Yeah, so far we have discussed the limbs of the universal form or Mahapurusha who manifests the universal form. Now from 10 verse onwards till 20 we'll have vibhutis of the Lord. Various vibhutis. Kaustubha vyapadeshena svatma jyotir vibhartyajaha tatprabhavyapini sakshat srivatsam urasa vibhu.
Upon his chest the almighty unborn personality of Godhead bears the Kaustubha gem, which represents the pure spirit soul, along with the Shiva's mark, which is the direct manifestation of this gem's expansive effulgence.
So, these are vibhutis of the Lord. Kaustubha Mani is representing the pure spirit soul. It means Kaustubha Mani is there on the Lord's chest. Right? So, Lord keeps the pure living entity, pure souls, close to his heart. This something similar comes in 3.28 also, Kapil Dev's teachings. Kaumodaki Bhagavato Daitam Smareta Digdham Arati Bhatashonita Kardamena Mala Madhuvrata Varudha Giropagishtam Chaityasya Tattvam Amalam Manimasya Kante. Chaityasya Tattvam Amalam Manimasya Kante. Lord wears a beautiful necklace around his pearl necklace around his neck, and that represents all pure living entities. There are two kinds of living entities, Amala and Arati. Amala means those devotees who have dedicated their lives for hearing the glories of the Lord and service of the Lord. And Arati means all the demoniac people. So for those demoniac people, Lord holds this Kaumodaki, which is always tainted with the blood of such demoniac people. And representing all those Amala devotees, pure devotees, is Lord's necklace, pearl necklace. Or here it is said it is Kaustubha Mani. Along with the Srivatsa mark, which is a direct manifestation of the gem's expansive effulgence. So here Srivatsa mark is described to be the effulgence or the brilliance coming from the Kaustubha Mani. Mani is there, along around that is the Srivatsa mark. So next 10 verses are various aspects of the Lord, that are various vibhutis of the Lord are mentioned. You can just read the translations and see the slide. It's in a tabular format. What represents what? In this verse we have Kaustubha Mani representing pure spirit soul, Srivatsa mark representing the manifestation of Kaustubha's expanse to effulgence. Next, read.
His flower garland is his material energy, comprising various combination of the modes of nature. His yellow garment is the Vedic meters, and his sacred thread is symbol Om, composed of three sounds. In the form of his two shark-shaped earrings, the Lord carries the process of Sankhya and Yoga, and his crown, bestowing fearlessness on the inhabitant of all the world, is the supreme position of Brahmalok. Ananta, the Lord's sitting place, is the unmanifest phase of material nature, and the Lord's lotus throne is the made of goodness, endowed with religion and knowledge. The club the Lord carries is the chief element, prana, incorporating the potencies of sensory, mental and physical strength. His excellent conchal is the element water. His sudarshan disc is the element fire. And the sword, pure as the sky, the element ether. His shield embodies the modes of ignorance. His bow named Sharanga, time, and his arrow filled quiver the working sensory organs. His arrows are said to be the senses, and his chariot is the active forceful mind. His external appearance is the subtle object of perception, and the gesture of his hands are the essence of all purposeful activities. The sun globe is the place where the Supreme Lord is worshipped. Spiritual initiation is the means of purification for the spirit soul, and rendering devotional service to the personality of Godhead is the process for eradicating all one's sinful reactions.
These two verses, in the 16th verse, it is mentioned that the gestures of Lord's hands are the essence of all purposeful activity. We do some purposeful activities with our hands. right? But all the purposeful activities are actually executed by Lord's hands, right? He's using our hands. That's one nice thing. All activities ultimately aimed at the supreme perfection of life, and this perfection is awarded by the merciful hands of the Lord. Next, 17th verse is another interesting verse. Mandalam deva yajanam diksha samskara atmanah paricharya bhagavata atmano duritakshayah. So, the spiritual initiation process, diksha, is a means for purification of the spirit soul. And paricharya bhagavata, serving the Lord, devotional service of the Lord, is the process of eradicating sinful activities, sinful reactions. Atmano duritakshayah. Paricharya bhagavata atmano duritakshayah. So this is another nice line. So, yeah, 18th verse.
Playfully carrying a lotus which represents the various opulences designated by the word bhaga, the Supreme Lord accepts service from a pair of chamar fans which are religion and fame. O Brahmanas, the Lord's umbrella is his spiritual abode, Vaikuntha, where there is no fear, and Garuda, who carries the lords of sacrifices, the threefold Veda. The goddess of fortune, Shri, who never leaves the Lord's side, appear with him in this world as the representation of his internal potency. Vishwaksen, the chief among his personal associates, is known to be the personification of the Pancharatra and other tantras. And the Lord's eight doorkeepers headed by Nanda are his mystic perfections, beginning with Anima.
Lord's eight doorkeepers headed by Nanda. Actually, in the Padma Purana, there are 18 names of Lord's doorkeepers. 18 doorkeepers. Nanda, Sunanda, Jaya, Vijaya, Chanda, Prachanda, Bhadra, Subhadra, Dhata, Vidhata, Kumuda, Kumudaksha, Pundarikaksha, Vamana, Sunkukarna, Sarvanetra, Shankukarna, Sarvanetra, Sumukha, and Supratishtha. These are the 18 doorkeepers of the Lord. If you go to Tirupati Balaji's temple, you see the main temple is here, and the Parikrama path where Malayappa, Sridevi, Bhudevi go around for their daily, procession. It's palanquin. After Sahasrdeep Alankarna, they take him around. Pallaki Seva. In Telugu, there it's called Pallaki Seva. So they take him around the temple and then he goes inside the Garbhagriha. So around that Parikrama path, if you notice, there are like big gates. Right? There are no doors there, but they just place this big, around the gate. Not canopy, it's like a board. Right? There is like one entrance gate, that kind of thing. So on either side of that gates, we'll find two four-handed Vishnu Murtis, Vishnu forms. They are all having these names. Right? They are like doorkeepers. Like at one gate, you will see Nanda Sunanda. Another gate, you will see Jayavijaya. Another gate, you will see Chanda Prachanda. So I was wondering, what is this? Then when I read that Bhagavatam, this verse, again, these are 18 doorkeepers. Not just two. Balaji, Tirupati. Huh? Yatra. No time to complete syllabus. There is time for Yatra. Purport me 18, bro. Total 9 gates. Two doorkeepers each. According to Srila Jiva Goswami, in this purport, there is an elaborate description about Mother Lakshmi. Right? The opulence of Lord's inferior nature has its source in the spiritual opulence called Goddess of Fortune. So there is Lord's energy in this material world. There is an expansion of Lord's spiritual energy, which is Goddess of Fortune. There are so many verses quoted explaining the position of Goddess of Fortune. So Vishnu and Goddess of Fortune, they descend together. They are present everywhere. When Lord descends, his consort also descends. Like that. There are three infallible potencies. right, the energies of the Lord. So three energies are inferior energy, that is material nature, material world. Superior energy is Goddess of Fortune, and Lord is the master of both. And this inferior energy depends on the superior energy. Inferior energy is an expansion of superior energy. So by quoting some verses, these things are explained. So she is the pure consciousness and is under the direct shelter of Lord Vishnu. Next, 21 to 23, how the Lord maintains is described here as Chaturvyuha. Vasudeva Sankarshanaha Pradyumnah Purushasvayam Aniruddha Iti Brahman Murtivyoho Abhidhiyate.
Vasudev, Sankarshana, Pradyumna and Aniruddha are the names of the direct personal expansion of the Supreme Godhead, O Brahmana Shaunaka.
Yeah, go ahead.
One can conceive of the Supreme Personality of Godhead in terms of awakened consciousness, sleep and deep sleep. Which
so these three we know as Sapna, Jagriti, Sushupti. Here other names are mentioned. Sa Vishvaha Taijasaha Pragnaha. The manifestations of waking consciousness, sleep and deep sleep, they are also called Vishvaha Taijasaha and Pragnaha. Okay. Turiya is the fourth stage. Yes.
Functions respectively through external object, the mind and the material intelligence, and also in terms of fourth transcendental level of consciousness, which is characterized by pure knowledge. The Personality of Godhead, Lord Hari, thus appear in four personal expansions, each exhibiting major limbs, minor limbs, weapons and ornaments.
See, Anga, see, the, read the first line. We'll read this verse. Angopanga yuna kalpair Bhagavamstha chatushtayam Vibhartisma chatur murtir Bhagavan Haririshwaraha.
The Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Hari, thus appear in four personal expansions, each exhibiting major limbs, minor limbs, weapons and ornaments.
They are Anga, major limbs, Upanga, minor limbs, Ayudha, weapons, then Akalpaihi, ornaments. Okay.
Through these distinct features, the Lord maintained the four phases of existence.
So, this is what has been discussed so far. The big chart that we are seeing is all these angas and weapons, etc. 24th verse. 24 to 26 discuss about the worship of the Lord. So he described about Mahapurusha and his features and his four expansions, right, in terms of anga, upanga, then ayudha and akalpa. Now he is describing about the worship of that Mahapurusha. 24 to 26. Avijarushabhasa esha brahmayoni svayam dhruk Swamahima paripurno mayayacha svayaitat Srijati harati pati tyakhyana vritaksho Vivrita ivaniruktastat parair atma labhyaha.
O best of the Brahmanas, he alone is the self-luminous original source of the Vedas, perfect and complete in his own glory. By his material energy, he creates, destroys and maintains this entire universe. Because he is the performer of various material functions, he is sometimes described as materially divided. Yet he always remains transcendentally situated in pure knowledge. Those who are dedicated to him in devotion can realize him to be their true soul.
So this purport is very important, that gives the essence of this whole chapter, this whole section. So suddenly Savanakadi Rishi is asked about Mahapurusha and Kriya Yoga to Suta Goswami, and Suta Goswami described this Mahapurusha. Apparently, why at the end of Bhagavatam another universal form description? We may get bored or here. He's honest. So we may think like that, but the essence of it and the glory of that description is ultimately we need to bring it down to our level. We may have discussed very high topics so far, but what is there at level, our level is, we have seen in the beginning that earth is the lotus feet of the Lord, right? And Kaustubhamani represents all the pure souls, right? We have read all that, right? So by reading all this description, we need to refine our consciousness, right? We need to develop a very good consciousness. We can be more meditative. When we see the earth, which is always visible to us, right? Unless we sleep, we can always see the earth, right? We are standing on earth, we are walking on earth, we are sitting on earth. So earth is like basis of all our functions. So when we see this earth, we can remember that this is an expansion of Lord's lotus feet. Thus we can become Krishna conscious. So this chapter will help us to become more Krishna conscious. So all these moving and non-moving living entities are there. They have taken shelter of the earth. They are actually sheltered at the lotus feet of the Lord. We, all of us have taken shelter of this earth. Means what? We have taken shelter of the lotus feet of the Lord. Lord's lotus feet is providing us the shelter. Otherwise, we cannot survive. That is the meditation that we should go into after reading this episode. Then, we also heard that Kaustubhamani represents Lord's pure living entities. Right? So, understanding that all the souls who are potentially pure devotees and parts and parcels of the Lord, they represent Lord's Kaustubhamani, and Lord keeps all those pure souls close to his heart. Understanding that, we should respect everyone. Amanina manadena. Then we will be able to chant the holy names. So the end of Bhagavatam, the last verse of Bhagavatam says, Nama Sankirtanam Yasya Sarva Papa Pranashanam. So the conclusion of Bhagavatam is Nama Sankirtan. And how do we do that Nama Sankirtan? When will we come to the stage of doing that Nama Sankirtan? When we respect every living entity. As Mahaprabhu says, Trinadapi Sunichena, Tarorapi Sahishtuna, Amanina Manadena, then comes Kirtaniya Sadaharihi. So before coming to the stage of always constantly chanting the holy names of the Lord, there is another stage, which is respecting every living entity, not expecting respect from other people, right? And humility, tolerance. So then one will be able to chant the holy names of the Lord, which is the conclusion of Bhagavatam. So apparently this is describing one more episode of universal form, but this description of the universal form should take us into this meditation. Right? We should follow the final conclusion, message of Bhagavatam, which is absorbing in holy name, which will happen by doing this, like that. We should identify all the souls as Lord's Kaustubhamani. So in fact, all living entities constitute the Kaustubha gem on my Lord's chest. Therefore, I should never envy or deride any living entity. By practicing this meditation, one can achieve success in life. Even Kapil Dev also says, even Uddhava Gita, Lord also says, Krishna also says, that one may worship the Lord. So now they asked about Kriya Yoga, worshipping the Lord. So Lord's form is there, and one will know the process of worshipping the Lord. And if we just worship the Lord without having respect for other living entities, that worship is like pouring oblations into ashes, not into firewood and fire. In ashes you just pour ghee. It doesn't make much sense. Like that. Kriya Yoga is deity worship. Worship is Kriya Yoga. Sri Krishna Krishna Sakhavrish Nirisha Bhavanidruk Rajanya Vamsadahana Napavarga Virya Govinda Gopavanita Vrajabhritya Gita Tirthashrava Shravana Mangala Pahi Bhrityan Sri Krishna Krishna Sakhavrishni Risha Bhavanidruk Rajanya Vamsadahana Napavarga Virya Govinda Gopavanita Vraja Bhritya Gita Tirthashrava Shravana Mangala Pahi Bhrityan.
O friend of Arjuna, O chief among the descendant of Rishni, you are the destroyer of those political parties that are disturbing element on this earth. Your prowess never deteriorates. You are the proprietor of the transcendental abode, and your most sacred glories, which are sung by the Vrindavan cowherd man and woman and their servant, bestow all auspiciousness just by being heard. O Lord, please protect your devotees.
So, Sri Krishna, oh Lord Krishna, this is a direct prayer unto Lord Krishna. Krishna Sakha, Arjuna has another name, Krishna. Draupadi also has another name, Krishna. Right? And deer also has another name, Krishna, I think. Krishna is also called deer. Deer is also called Krishna. Something I heard. Anyways, here Krishna Sakha, the second Krishna is to be read along with Sakha. Krishna Sakha means Arjuna's friend, again Krishna only. Vrishni Rishabhava Nidruk. So he is the chief of all Vrishnis. Right? Avanidruk Rajanya Vamsa. Avanidruk means the rebellious kings on the earth. Rajanya. Druk Rajanya. Vamsa Dahanan Apavargavirya. So Lord has destroyed all the rebellious kings on this earth in his descent. Then Apavarga Virya. Apavarga means there is no deterioration. Apavarga is liberation. Deterioration of everything. Of everything material. In that sense Apavarga is used. Again Apavarga literally could also mean no deterioration. So Apavarga Virya. Lord's prowess is never diminished. So Govinda Gopavanita Vraja Bhritya Gita. So this Govinda, Lord, with Gopavanitas, all the damsels of Vrindavan, Vraja Bhritya Gita Tirthas, Vraja Bhritya Gita, he is having multiple servants, right, who are singing his glories, right? Then Tirthasravaha Sravana Mangala Pahi Bhrityan. Tirthasrava means his Shrava, his glories are like Tirtha. When you go to some holy place, you take bath there and one will be purified of one's own sins. So Tirtha Shrava, Lord's glories are also holy places. When we take bath in the Lord's glories, when we take bath in Harikatha, our sinful mentality, sinful proclivity will be removed. So Lord's glories are a better Tirtha than other Tirthas. Is the best possible holy place. That's why he is called Tirtha Pada, Tirtha Shrava. So, Shravana Mangala. So, just by hearing about Krishna, Mangala, all auspiciousness will come. So, Pahi Bhrityan, please protect us. It's another beautiful prayer. So, now we will see, today we will read at least some 20 nectar verses. All are worth memorizing. In one exam, we can't include all that. But this is a compulsory question in your grand test. At least 4-5 verses you got. Huh? Yeah, something similar comes there also.
Yayidam kalya uttayam mahapurusha lakshanam tachitta prayato japtva brahmaveda guhashayam.
Anyone who rises early in the morning and with a purified mind fixes upon the Mahapurusha, quietly chants this description of his characteristics, will realize him as a supreme absolute truth residing within the heart.
So that's how that Mahapurusha description and worship part ended. Now another question Savanaka Rishi is asking.
Sukoyad Aha Bhagavan Vishnurataya Srunvate Sauro guno mahi masi, masi masi, nana vasati saptakaha, tesham namani karmani, niyukta namadhishvaraihi, bruhina shraddhadananam, Vyuham Suryatmano Harehe.
Sri Shaunaka said, please describe to us who have great faith in your words the different sets of seven personal features and associates the sun god exhibit during each month, along with their names and activities. The associates of the sun god who serves their lord are personal expansion of the supreme personality of God at Hari in his feature as the presiding deity of the sun.
So Lord has another expansion as sun, Surya Narayan, right? So I want to know his personal features. There is like one more element that is missing in this long description. Please describe over the seven personal features and associates of the sun god in 12 months. In 12 months, they will change, right? We want to know about that also. So in the purport, if you see, the personalities related with the sun are seven categories. In the course of sun's orbit, there are 12 months. And in each month, a different sun god and a different set of his six associates preside. In each of the 12 months, beginning from Vaishakha, there are different names for the sun god himself. The sage, the yaksha, gandharva, apsara, rakshasa, naga, making a total of seven categories. Right? So these are the seven personal features of the Lord and the associates of the Lord. Sutta Goswami now starts describing. So the whole thing is summarized in one table on the screen. We'll put it. Before that, please read the translations. 29.
Sutta Goswami said, the sun travels among all the planets and thus regulates their movements. It has been created by Lord Vishnu, the supreme soul of all embodied beings, through his beginningless material energy. The sun god, being non-different from Lord Hari, is the one soul of all the world and this their original creator. He is the source of all the ritualistic activities prescribed in the Vedas and has been given many names by the Vedic sages.
So, these two are describing a few points about sun, how he travels all the planets, how he is representative of the Supreme Lord, how he is called by so many names, how he is the source of all ritualistic activities which are prescribed in the Vedas. So some points about sun are mentioned here. Now sun is described in nine aspects. That is mentioned in the 31st verse.
Kalo desha kriya karta karanam karyam agama dravyam phalam iti brahman navadhopto jaya harihi.
Being the source of the material energy, the personality of God and Lord Hari is his expansion as a sun god is described in nine aspect. O Shaunaka, the time, the place, the endeavor, the performer, the instrument, the specific ritual, the scripture, the paraphernalia of worship and the result to be achieved.
Sun is described in terms of these seven. Sun is an expansion of Supreme Lord and he has these seven aspects, nine aspects. Kala, Desha, Kriya, Karta, Karanam, Karyam, Agamaha, Dravya, and Phalam. So, Phalam is the result to be achieved, time, place, endeavor, etc. So, read, continue.
The Supreme Personality of Godhead, manifesting his potency of time as the sun god, travel about in each of the 12 months, beginning with Madhu, to regulate planetary motions within the universe. Traveling with the sun god is each of the 12 months is a different sets of six associates.
Go ahead. So now all the different months and different names of sun god and all these six associates. See here. Just like there is one Manvantara has six elements who are the expansion of the Lord. Here one sun god will have six types of associates. Apsara, Rakshasa, Naga, Yaksha, Sages and Gandharvas. So they keep on changing every month. And sun is also called by different names every month. So these are the months, these are the names of God, these are the associates. Now his names are changing. Yes, read.
My dear sage, Data as the sun god, Kritastali as the Apsara, Heti as the Rakshasa, Vasuki as the Naga, Ratakrita as the Yaksha, Pulatsya as the sage, and Tumburu as a Gandharva ruled the month of Madhu. Aryama as the sun god, Pulaha as the sage, Athauja as the Yaksha, Praheti as the Rakshasa, Punjika Stali as the Apsara, Narada as the Gandharva, and Kancharnira as the Naga ruled the month of Madhav. Mitra as the sun god, Atri as the sage, Paurusheya as the Rakshasa, Takshaka as the Nag, Menaka as the Apsara, Haya as the Gandharva, Rataswana as the Yaksha ruled the month of Shukra. Vashishta as the sage, Varuna as the sun god, Ramba as the Apsara, Sahajanya as the Rakshasa, Huhu as the Gandharva, Shukra as the Nag, Chitraswana as the Yaksha ruled the month of Suchi. Indra as the sun god, Vishwavasu as the Gandharva, Shrota as the Yaksha, Ilapatra as the Nag, Angira as the sage, Pramlocha as the Apsara, and Varya as the Rakshasa ruled the month of Nabas. Vishwaswan as the sun god, Ugrasen as the Gandharva, Vyagra as the Rakshasa, Asarana as the Yaksha, Bhrigu as the sage, Anumlocha as the Apsara, and Sankhapal as the Nag ruled the month of Nabasya. Pusha as the sun god, Dhananja as the Nag, Vata as the Rakshasa, Susena as the Gandharva, Suruchi as the Yaksha, Gratachi as the Apsara, and Gautama as the sage ruled the month of Tapas. Rutu as the Yaksha, Varcha as the Rakshasa, Bharadwaj as the sage, Parjanya as the sun god, Shenajit as the Apsara, Vishwa as the Gandharva, and Airavat as the Naga ruled the month known as Tapasya. Amshu as the sun god, Kashyapa as the sage, Tarakshya as the Yaksha, Ratasena as the Gandharva, Urvashi as the Apsara, Vidyu Chatru as the Rakshasa, and Mahashankha as the Naga ruled the month of Shahas. Bhag as the sun god, Spurja as the Rakshasa, Arishtanemi as the Gandharva, Urna as the Yaksha, Ayur as the sage, Karkotaka as the Naga, and Purvachitti as the Apsara ruled the month of Pushya.
Purvachitti, remember, no?
Tvashta as the sun god, Jamanagni, the son of Richika, as the sage, Kambalashwa as the Nag, Tilottama as the Apsara, Brahmapeta as the Rakshasa, Satajit as the Yaksha, Dhritarashtra as the Gandharva maintain the month of Isha. Vishnu as the sun god, Ashvatthara as the Nag, Ramba as the Apsara, Suryavarcha as the Gandharva, Satyajit as the Yaksha, Vishwamitra as the sage, and Makhapet as the Rakshasa rule the month of Urja. All this personality are the opulent expansion of the Supreme Personality of Godhead Vishnu in the form of sun god. These deities take away all the sinful reaction of those who remember them each day at dawn and sunset.
So, yeah, read.
Thus, throughout the 12 months, the Lord of the Sun travels in all directions with his 6 types of associates, disseminating among the inhabitants of this universe purity of the consciousness for both this life and the next. While the sages glorify the sun god with the hymns of the Sama Yajur Vedas, which reveals his identity, the Gandharvas also sing his praises, and the Apsara dance before his chariot. The Nagas arrange a chariot robe, and the Yakshas harness the horses to the chariot, while the powerful Rakshasas push them from behind. Facing the chariot, the 60,000 Brahmanas, sage known as the Valakhilyas, travel in front and offer prayers to the almighty sun god with Vedic mantras.
Just imagine, the chariot is not stationary, it's moving. They face the Lord, they face sun god and glorify him. Means they are moving backward at the speed of the chariot. Okay.
For the protector of all the worlds, the Supreme Personality of Godhead Hari, who is unborn and without beginning or end, thus expands himself during each day of Brahma into this specific categories of his personal representations.
Okay. So, that's how that chapter is complete. So, in this 27th purport by Chakvartipad, we have this point. The Bhagavad Purana is as brilliant as sun, and it has arisen after the departure of Lord Krishna. So in that purport, Chakvartipad quotes Krishna Sodhama Pagate Dharma Gnana Divisada. Right? And after that, the story of Markandeya ancestor and the answer to a description of his method of worship. This is an example given of the sun. comparing it to Krishna, the subject of Bhagavatam. So Bhagavatam is compared to sun. So Samanakrishi is asking this question about sun. Because Bhagavatam is compared to sun, I want to know a little more about the sun. So that is this. That's why this whole sun topic came. Because the sun has been mentioned, not only this, one more verse is there. Krishna Dhyamane Nimlochi. Right? There also. Because the sun has been mentioned, I should now have Suta explain about the sun, the king of all planets, with 12 forms, at the time of completion of the king of all Puranas, consisting 12 volumes. So sun has 12 months, right? He has different types of associates in 12 months. So similarly, Bhagavatam has 12 cantos. So I want to know more about sun god. That is the link to this question. Right? One should not consider that the sun mentioned in the Bhagavatam, which is compared to Krishna, who has a spiritual body of eternity, knowledge and bliss, is material. The sun has been created by Vishnu, the soul of all embodied beings. That's where those few verses come there. Okay.
Thank you. We'll get into the next chapter. A summary, overview class, that Sukadeva Goswami gave. Sukadeva Goswami also gave an overview class of entire Bhagavatam. So we will follow him and do that in next week. So the activities of the six associates are mentioned in 47 to 49. What do the sages do, Gandharvas do, Apsaras do? You see, six activities and their job profiles. We have six elements of Manvantara and their job description. Similar is here. Okay, now 12th chapter. Srimad Bhagavatam summarized. The topics of Srimad Bhagavatam summarized. Suta uvacha. Namo dharmaya mahate. Namah krishnaya vedhase. Brahmane bhyo namaskritya. Dharman vakshe sanatanan.
Sut Goswami said, offering my obeisances to the supreme religious principle, devotional service to the Lord Krishna, the supreme creator, and to all the brahmanas, I shall now describe the eternal principle of religion.
So he is offering obeisances to the process of bhakti and Bhagavan and bhaktas. You see, he is offering obeisances to namo dharmaya mahate. What is that mahat dharma? Bhakti only. Namah Krishnaya Vedhase and Bhagavan, that is Krishna. Brahmane Bhyo Namaskritya. Brahman is Bhaktas. Bhakti, Bhagavan and Bhakta. He is offering obeisances to all these three before giving a summary class, before giving this overview. Etadvah Kathitam Vipram Vishnos Charitam Adbhutam Bhavadbhir Yad Aham Prishto Naranam Purushochitam.
O great sage, I have narrated to you the wonderful pastime of Lord Vishnu as you inquired about them from me. Hearing such narrations is a suitable engagement for a person who is actually a human being.
So, etadvaha kathitam vipra Vishnu charitam adbhutam. So this, whatever has been narrated to you, the Srimad Bhagavatam, is the wonderful activities of Vishnu. Bhavadbhir yadaham purushto naranam purushochitam. So whatever you have inquired from me, in response to that I spoke this Narayan Katha, that is very glorious. So hearing about Vishnu's charitam is a suitable engagement for one who is a human being. The best engagement for humanity is to hear Krishna Katha. Atra Sankirtita Sakshat Sarva Papa Haro Harihi Narayano Hrishikesho Bhagavan Satvatam Patihi.
This literature fully glorifies the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Hari, who removes all his devotees' sinful reactions. The Lord is glorified as Narayana, Rishikesha and the lord of the Satvatas.
So here in this verse, we have five names of the Lord. Narayana, Hrishikesha, Bhagavan, Satvatampati and Hari. See, second line, last word is Hari. Next two lines are four more names. So Lord is described as Hari because he removes sins from the heart of his devotees. He is Narayana because he sustains all living beings. He is Hrishikesha, he is the master of everybody's senses. Bhagavan, because he is all-attractive supreme being, Krishna. Satvatampati, he is the master of all devotees, religious people. So five holy names of Krishna are mentioned in this one verse. Fourth verse.
Atra brahma param guhyam jagatah prabhavapyayam jnanam chatadupaka upakhyanam proktam vijnana samyutam.
This literature describes the mystery of the Supreme Absolute Truth, the source of the creation and annihilation of this universe, also presented our divine knowledge of Him together with the process of its cultivation and the transcendental realization one achieves.
Atra brahma param guhyam, most confidential scripture. Jagataha prabhavapyaham. So jagataha prabhava apyaham. Prabhava is creation, apyayam is destruction. So the creation and annihilation of this universe is described in this literature. Then jnanam cha tad upakhyanam. Jnanam means knowledge. Upakhyanam means the cultivating, the means of cultivating that knowledge. Then proktam vijnana samyutam, along with the realization. Knowledge, realization and the process of cultivating that knowledge. So if you just give knowledge, that is not sufficient. That has to convert into realization. So knowledge and realization, between knowledge and realization, there should be a process how to convert this knowledge into realization. All are mentioned very nicely. Sambandha Abhidai Prayojan, all are mentioned nicely in Bhagavatam. Then fifth verse.
Bhakti yoga samakhyato vairagyam chadadashrayam parikshitam upakhyanam naradakhyanamevacha.
The following topics are also narrated. The process of devotional service together with its subsidiary feature of renunciation and the histories of Maharaj Parikshit and the sage Narada.
Bhakti yoga samakhyato vairagyam cha tadashrayam. So this literature Bhagavatam describes about bhakti yoga. Then renunciation accompanied by renunciation. Renunciation is a secondary element. Bhakti is the primary element. Bhakti is accompanying. Renunciation is accompanying bhakti. Then histories of Parikshit and Narada. They are all described nicely.
Prayopavesho Rajarshir Viprashapat Parikshitaha Sukasya Brahmarshabhasya Samvadascha Parikshitaha.
Also described are saintly King Parikshit sitting down to fast until death in response to the curse of a Brahmana's son, and the conversations between Parikshit and Shukadeva Goswami, who is the best of all Brahmanas.
See, very important observation we can make here. This first canto is also included in summary of Bhagavatam. See, fifth verse is the summary of first canto. Sixth verse is also summarizing first canto. Bhakti yoga samakhyato vairagyam cha tadashrayam. These are all the initial chapters. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. They are all like discussing 1, 2, 3. They are discussing about bhakti, Bhagavan and bhakta. Then parikshitam upakhyanam naradakhyanam evacha. In 4, 5, 6 of first canto, we have Narada Muni's story and his enlightening of Vyasadeva. Parikshitam, rest of the canto, from 7th chapter till the end of the first canto is about Parikshit Maharaj, his story, his birth, his activities, etc. And all the other events are connected to his birth. 7th chapter of first canto, he begins with, Uttara's womb attacked by Brahmastra. That is like seed of Parikshit Maharaj's birth. Then rest is his activities.
There are some detours of Krishna going from Hastinapur, entering Dwaraka, Bhishma's passing away, then Kunti Maharani's prayers. So all these are accompanying Parikshit Maharaj's birth only. Then Prayopavesha of Parikshit Maharaj, his cursing by Brahmana's son, then conversation that begins with Sukadeva Goswami, that is the end of first canto. So these two verses are speaking about the first canto.
Yogadharanayot Krantih Samvado Naradajayoh Avataranugitamcha Sargah Pradhaniko Gratah.
The Bhagavatam explains how one can attain liberation at the time of death by practicing fixed meditation in yoga. It also contains a discussion between Narada and Brahma, an enumeration of the incarnations of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and a description of how the universe was created in progressive sequence, beginning from the unmanifest stage of material nature.
So this is second canto. So Brahma Narada Samvad, then there is Leelavataras also described there in 7th chapter of second canto. So and creation 2.5 and 2.6. So all these are belonging to second canto. So Chakravarti Pada writes that in this summary, in this chapter, only some points, you know, some sections are mentioned here. That doesn't mean they are the most important sections and all others are less important. It's not practical to again repeat the whole Bhagavatam. So in a summary class, you highlight some points only, not every point. So that doesn't mean that we should minimize the importance of other topics.
Vidurodhava samvadaham Shatur Maitreya Yostataha Purana Samhita Prashno Mahapurusha Samstitaha
Samstitihi.
This scripture also relates the discussions Vidura had with Uddhava and with Maitreya, inquiries about the subject matter of this Purana and the winding up of a creation within the body of the Supreme Lord at the time of annihilation.
So there is a description, third canto, first four chapters is Vidura and Uddhava Samvad. Later comes Vidura and Maitreya Samvad. That are the beginning topics that they discussed. Creation, that again came.
Tatah pari krite sargah saptavaikarikaschaye tato brahmanda sambhutir vairajah purusho yatah.
The creation effected by the agitation of the modes of material nature, the seven stages of evolution by elemental transformation, and the construction of the universal lake, from which arises the universal form of the Supreme Lord. All these are thoroughly described.
Kalasya sthula sukshmasya gatih padma samudbhavah bhuva uddharane mhobdher hiranyaksha vadho yatha.
Other topics include the subtle and gross movements of time, the generation of the lotus from the navel of Garbhodakshayi Vishnu, and the killing of the demon Hiranyaksha when the earth was delivered from the Garbhodak ocean.
They are all third canto topics.
Urdhvatiryag avak sargo rudra sargas tathaivacha ardhanarishvarasyatha yatasvayam bhuvo manuhu.
The Bhagavatam also describes the creation of demigods, animals and demoniac species of life, birth of Lord Rudra and the appearance of Swayambhu Manu from the half-man, half-woman Ishvara.
Question? I read Chakravarti Pada also. What I understood is Shiva is called Ardhanarishvara. Probably that. It's not very clear to me, even after reading both.
12th. Shatarupa chaya strinam adhya prakriti ruttava santano dharma patninam kardamasya prajapatehe
Also related are the appearance of the first woman, Shatrupa, who was the excellent consort of Manu and offspring of the pious wives of Prajapati Kardama.
Avataro Bhagavataham Kapilasya Mahatmanaham Devahutyascha Samvadaham Kapilena cha Dhimata. The Bhagavatam describes the incarnation of the Supreme Personality of Godhead as the exalted sage Kapila and records the conversation between the greatly learned soul Devahuti. Then Navabrahma Samutpattir Dakshayagna Vinashanam Dhruvasya Charitam Paschad Prithoprachina Barhishah Naradasya Samvadah Tatah Praivartyam Praivartam Dijah Tatah Praiyavratam Dijah Nabhestato Nucheritam Rishabhasya Bharatasya cha. This is fourth and fifth cantos combined. Also described as the progeny of the nine great brahmanas, the destruction of Daksha's sacrifice, that is 4.1 to 7, and the history of Dhruva Maharaj, that is 4.8 to 12, then followed by the histories of King Prithu and King Prachinabarhi, that is 4.13 to 24, 23. Then Prachinabarhi is till the end, from 25 till end, along with Prachetas. Then the life of Maharaj Priyavrat, 5.1. Then other Brahmanas, the Bhagavatam tells the character of activities of Nabi, 5.3. Rishabha, 5.5 to 6. Then King Bharata, 5.7 to 9. Dvipavarsha Samudranam Girinadyupavarnanam Jyotishchakrasya Samsthanam Patala Narakasthitihi. Bhagavatam gives an elaborate description of the earth's continents, regions, oceans, mountains and rivers. Also described are the arrangement of the celestial sphere and the conditions found in the subterranean regions and in hell. This is fifth canto, Sthanam, 5.16 till 26. Okay. Dakshajanma prachetabhyo prachetobhya tatputrinam cha santate yato devasura naraham tiryannaga khagodayah. The rebirth of Prajapati Daksha is the son of the Prachetas and the progeny of Daksha's daughters, who initiated the races of demigods, demons, human beings, animals, serpents, birds, and so on are described. This is the sixth canto beginning. Sixth canto, fourth chapter, Hamsa Guhya prayers, and fifth chapter, Daksha's 11,000 sons were converted into, you know, sannyasis by Narada Muni. Then sixth chapter of sixth canto, he creates 60 daughters. They are married to great sages, and they generate animals, serpents, birds, etc. You remember those slides? Next. Tvashtrasya janma nidhanam putrayoscha diter dvijaha daityeshwarasya charitam praharadasya mahatmanaha.
O Brahmanas, also recounted are the births and deaths of Vratrasura and Diti's son Hiranyaksha and Hiranyakashipu, as well as the history of the greatest of the Diti's descendants, the exalted soul Prahlad.
So sixth and seventh canto. Next, eighth canto. Manvantaranu kathanam Gajendrasya vimokshanam Manvantaravatarasya Vishnor Hayasiradaya.
Reign of each Manu, the liberation of Gajendra, and the special incarnations of the Lord Vishnu in each Manvantara, such as Lord Hayashish, are described as well.
Kaurmam Matsyam Narasimham Vamanam Jajagatpatehe Kshiroda Mathanam Tadvad
Amritarthe dvijau divau kasam. Bhagavatam also tells of the appearances of the Lord of the universe as Kurma, Matsya, Nrisimha and Vamana, and of the demigods churning the milk ocean to obtain nectar. This is 8th canto. So Nrisimha is not in 8th canto, but then Devasuramaho Yuddham Raja Vamsha Anukirtanam Ikshvakujanma Tadvamshah Sudyumnasya Mahatmanah Ilopakhyanamatroktam Taropakhyanamevacha Suryavamshanukathanam Shashadadyanrgadayah Ramasya Koshalendrasya Charitam Kilvishapaham Saukanyam Chatha Saryateh Kakusthasya Cha Dhimatah Khatvangasya Cha Mandhatah Saubhareh Sagarasya Cha Ramasya Koshalendrasya Charitam Kilvishapaham Nimer Anga Parityago Janakanam Cha Sambhavaham. The 9th canto.
An account of the great battle fought between the demigods and the demons, a systematic description of the dynasties of various kings, and the narrations concerning Ikshvaku's birth, his dynasty, and dynasty of the pious Sudumna. All are presented within this literature. Also related are the histories of Ila and Tara, and the description of the descendants of the sun god, including such kings as Shashad and Nraga. The histories of Sukanya, Sharyati, the intelligent Kakustha, Khatvang, Mandhata, Sobhari and Sagara are narrated. The Bhagavatam narrates the sanctifying pastimes of Lord Ramchandra, the king of Koshal, and also explains how King Nimi abandoned his material body. The appearance of the descendants of the king Janaka is also mentioned.
So many stories in 9th canto. That's so many verses. Other cantos which are having lesser stories are summarized in lesser number of verses. Two more verses in 9th canto. Ramasya Bhargavendrasya Nikshat Nikshatri Karanam Bhuvaha Ailasya Soma Vamshasya Yater Naushayasya Cha Daushmanter Bharatasyapi Shantanoh Tatsutasya Cha Yater Jyeshta Putrasya Yador Vamsho Anukirtitaha.
The greatest descendant of Bhrigu annihilated all the Kshatriyas on the face of the earth. It further recounts the lives of the glorious kings who appeared in the dynasty of the moon god. Kings such as Ila, Ail, Yati, Nahusha, Dushmanta's son Bharata, Shantanu's son Bhishma, also described as a great dynasty founded by King Yadu, the eldest son of Yayati.
Now Krishna's pastimes will come. Yatravatirno Bhagavan Krishnakhyo Jagadishwaraha Vasudeva Grihe Janma Tato Vriddhischa Gokule Tasya Karmanya Parani Kirtityanya Suradvishaha Putanasupayah Panam Shakatochhatanam Shishoha.
How Sri Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead,
One more verse. Trinavartasya nishpeshah tathaiva bhagavatsayoh aghasuravadho dhatra vatsapala vaguhanam.
Sri Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead and the Lord of the universe, descended into this Yadu dynasty, how he took birth in the home of Vasudev and how he then grew up in Gokul. All this is described in detail.
10th canto.
Also glorified are the innumerable pastimes of Sri Krishna, the enemy of the demons, including his childhood pastime of sucking out Putna's life air along with her breast milk, breaking the cart, trampling down the Tranavat, killing Bakasur, Vatsasur and Aghasur, and the pastime he enacted when Lord Brahma hid his cows and cowherd boyfriend in cave.
Brahma Vimohan Lila. Dherukasya sahabhratuhu Prambasya ja sankshayaha Gopanam ca paritranam Davagnehi parisarpatah.
The Srimad Bhagavatam tells how Lord Krishna and Lord Balaram killed the demon Dhenukasur and his companions, how Lord Balaram destroyed Palambasur, and also how Krishna saved the cowherd boys from raging forest fire that had encircled them. Hmm.
Another sloka recitation class. Davanam kaliyasya her Mahaher nanda mokshanam Vratacharyatu kanyayam Yatra tushto chyuto vratayhi Prasado yagnapatni bhyo Vipranam chanutapanam Govardhano dharanam cha Shakrasya surabhir atham Yajnabhisheka krishnasya Sribhih krida charatrishu Shankhachudasya durbuddher Vadhorishtasya keshinaha Akruragavanam paschad Prasthanam Rama Krishna Yoha Vrajastrinam Vilapascha Mathuralokanam Tataha.
The chastisement of the serpent Kalia, the rescue of Nanda Maharaj from a great snake, the severe vows performed by young gopis who thus satisfied Lord Krishna, the mercy he showed the wives of Vedic Brahmanas who felt remorse, the lifting of Govardhan Hill followed by the worship and bathing ceremony performed by Indra and Surabhi cow, Lord Krishna nocturnal pastime with cowherd girls, and the killing of foolish demons Sankachuda, Arista and Keshi, all this pastime are elaborately recounted.
Entire Vrajalila is summarized.
The Bhagavatam describes the arrival of Akrura, the subsequent departure of Krishna and Balaram, the lamentation of gopis, and the touring of Mathura.
Viraha Gita. Okay. Next is Mathura pastimes. Gajamushtika Chanura Kamsadinam Tathavadha Vratasyanayanam Sunoh Punasandipaner Guroh.
Also narrated are how Krishna and Balaram killed the elephant Kuvalyapid, the wrestlers Mushtika and Chanur, and the Kamsa and other demons, as well as how Krishna brought back the dead son of his spiritual master, Sandipani Muni.
Mathurayam Nivasata Yaduchakrasya Yat Priyam Krutam Uddhava Ramabhyam Yutena Harinadvijaha Jarasandha Samanita Sainyasya Bahushovadha Ghatanam Yavanendrasya Kushasthalya Niveshanam
Then, O Brahmana, this scripture recounts how Lord Hari, while residing in Mathura in the company of Uddhav and Balram, performed pastime for the satisfaction of Yadu dynasty. Also described are the annihilation of each of the many armies brought by Jarasandha, the killing of barbarian king Kalyavan, and the establishment of Dwarka city.
Adanam parijatasya saudharmaya sulajdayat rukminyaharanam yuddhe pramathya dvishato harehe harasya drumbhanam yuddhe bhanasya bhujakrit krintanam prajyotishapatim hatva kanyanam haranam jayat.
This work also describes how Lord Krishna brought from heaven the Parijata tree and Sudharma assembly hall, and how he kidnapped Rukmani by defeating all his rivals in battle. Also narrated are how Lord Krishna, in the battle with Banasur, defeated Lord Shiva by making his yawn, how the Lord cut off Banasur's arm, and how he killed the master of Pragjyotishpur and then rescued the young princesses held captive in that city.
Chaidyapondrakashalvanam Dantavakrasya durmateh Shambarodvividah peetho Murah pancha janadayah Mahatyam chavadhastesham Varanasyasya dehanam Bharavataranam bhumer Nimitti kritya pandavan.
There are description of the powers and the deaths of the king of Chedi, Pondraka, Shalva, the foolish Dantavakra, Sambara, Dvivida, Pitha, Mura, Panchajan, and other demons, along with the description of how Varanasi was burned to the ground. The Bhagavatam also recounts how Lord Krishna relieved the earth burden by engaging the Pandavas in the battle of Kurukshetra.
This is the transition between 10 and 11 cantos. So in the initial part of 11th canto, Krishna was thinking, I reduced the burden of earth through the medium of Pandavas. So now we are going into 11th canto.
Viprashapapadeshena
Samharasvakulasya cha Uddhavasya cha samvado Vasudevasya chadbhutaha Yatratma vidya yakhila Prokta dharma vinirnayaha Tato martya parityaga Atma yoga anubhavata.
How the Lord withdrew his own dynasty on the pretext of Brahmana's curse. Vasudev's conversation with Narad, the extraordinary conversation between Uddhava and Krishna, which reveals the science of the self in complete detail and elucidates the religious principles of the human society, and then how Lord Krishna gave up this mortal world by his own mystic power. The Bhagavatam narrates all these events.
Yugalakshana vrittischa Kalavunam upaplavaham Chaturvidhascha pralayam Utpattis trividha tatha.
This work also describes people's characteristics and behavior in the different ages. The chaos man experienced in the age of Kali, the four kinds of annihilation, and the three kinds of creation.
12th canto. Here three kinds of creation are from Prakriti, the daily creation of Brahmaji, and the normal creation of individual bodies of living entities, according to Chakravarti Pada. Dehatyagascha Rajarsher Vrishnuratasya Dhimataha Shakha Pranayanam Rishir Markandeyasya Satkatha Mahapurusha Vinyasaha Suryasya Jagadatmanaha.
There are also an account of passing away of the wise and saintly king Vishnurat Parikshit, an exam, explanation of how Srila Vyasadev disseminated the branches of the Vedas, a pious narration concerning Markandeya Rishi, and a description of the detailed arrangement of Lord's universal form and his form as the sun, the soul of the universe.
Till the previous chapter he summarized. Iti choktam dija sreshta yat prishtoham iham sivaha lila avatara karmani kirtitani ha sarvashaha.
Thus, O best of the Brahmanas, I have explained herein what you have inquired from me. This literature has glorified in full detail the activities of Lord's pastime incarnations.
So, that is the summary of Bhagavatam. So, what is the result of glorifying such pastimes? Kirtaniha, Leelavatara Karmani. What is the result of that? That is explained in the 47th verse. By Kaimutika Nyaya. Patitaskhalitas chatraha sartaha kshutvava vivasho granan haraye nama ityuchair muchyate sarva patakat.
If when falling, sleeping, feeling pain or sneezing, one's involuntary cries out in a loud voice, obeisances to Lord Hari, one will be automatically freed from all his sinful reactions.
Okay. So, the point here is, if one chants holy name so casually like that, while getting up, while falling down or something like that, he will get so much benefit. What to speak of faithfully chanting the holy name? That is the main message. 48th. Not parihasyam hari. So that is not recommended. Even by that also one will get some benefit. Next. Kya? Abhi toh kya socha? Sankirtyamano Bhagavan Ananta. Srutvanubhavo Vyasanam hi Pumsam. Pravishya chittam vidhuno tyasesham yathatamorkorbham ivati vataham.
When people properly glorify the Supreme Personality of Godhead or simply hear about His power, the Lord personally enters their heart and cleanses away every taste of misfortune, just as the sun removes the darkness or as a powerful wind drives away the clouds.
So, Sankirtyamano Bhagavan. So, from here, nectar verses will begin, of course. Whatever we have discussed so far is nectar, like sweet halwa. But within halwa also, when sometimes dry fruits come, right? Fried, kaju, then badam, pista, vagara come, you relish it more, right? So, it's like that. The morning kurmara comes, you pick up the peanuts. That's not a very good comparison, but halwa is a good comparison. So a series of very brilliant verses come from now, and next chapter also is filled with such nectar verses. Sankirtyamano Bhagavan Anantaha. So if one does the Sankirtan, chanting the glories of Lord, who is unlimited, Srutanubhavo Vyasanam Hi Pumsam. So Srita Anubhavo, by hearing and by chanting, Lord's anubhavaha means potency, vyasanam hi pumsam pravishya chittam vidhunoti. So vyasanam vidhunoti. All the miseries are like removed, right? Asesham, completely removed. When the sound vibration enters one's heart, right? Yatha tamorko, two analogies are given in the last line. Yatha tamo arkaha. Arka means sun. When sun comes, tama, darkness is dispelled. But after giving this analogy, Sutta Goswami realized, if sun rises, if someone closes his eyes, his darkness will not be dispelled. If someone is living inside a cave and locks himself, right, then his darkness will not be destroyed. So I think this is not a very exciting analogy. Let me give another analogy. Then he said,
Abhram Ivati Vataha. So just like a powerful wind drives away the clouds, so clouds cannot escape. When wind comes, clouds can never escape. When sun comes, somebody who is hiding himself within a dark room, he can escape sunlight. But when wind comes, no cloud can escape. That's why this analogy is given. So one's existence and every trace of misfortune will be completely cleansed by hearing Bhagavatam, by properly glorifying the Supreme Lord. That is the power of Bhagavatam. Next. Mrishagirastha. It's transformation of consciousness. External beauty, you're taking bath and all that. 49. Mrishagirastha yasatir asatkatham. Nakathyate yad bhagavan adhokshajah. Tadeva satyam taduhai vamangalam. Tadeva punyam bhagavad gunodayam.
Words that do not describe the transcendental personality of Godhead, but instead deal with temporary matters are simply false and useless. Only those words that manifest the transcendental qualities of Supreme Lord are actually truthful, auspicious, and pious.
Here he emphasizes, in the 48th verse, he gave some examples, and he said, Pravishya Chittam Vidhunoti Asesham. So all kinds of impurities will be cleansed away, just like wind is blowing away all the clouds. Now, in this verse and in the next verse, Tadeva, 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 only that. That will certainly remove all this, that will certainly bring all these effects. So he very emphatically says in this series. He says, Mrisha Girastha Yasatir Asatkatha Na Kathyate Yad Bhagavan Adhokshajaha. So that words, Mrisha, Giraha, which are Mrisha, false words, those words which do not describe the Supreme Lord's glories are false words, right? Bogus. So Mrisha Girastha Hi Asatir Asatkatha. So it is Asatkatha. Even Brahmaji also says, Yanna Vrajancha Gavito Rachananavada Kurvanti Yenya Vishaya Kukatha Matighuni. They are like Kukatha, like bad words, right? And false words. So, but the glories of Lord Bhagavan Adhokshaja, so they are Satyam. Tadeva Satyam. That is the only truth. Tadu Haiva Mangalam. That only brings auspiciousness, nothing else. Tadeva punyam, that's the most pious activity one can do. Bhagavad Gunodayam. What is that? Lord's glories. So, he says, Akrura says, in the 10th canto, when he is entering Vrindavan, Yasya khilamiva habissumangalehi vacho vimishra gunakarma janmabhi pananti shumbhanti punanti vaijagat Yastad virakta shavasobhana matihi. So he says, the words that are devoid of Lord's glories are like decorations on dead body. Shavasobhana matihi. On the other hand, the words that are mixed with Lord's guna karma janmabhihi, they are prananti, shumbhanti, punanti. They purify, they animate, and they bring life to this entire creation. That is the effect of Lord's glories. Tadvag visargo janatagha viplo. That is the difference between words that do not describe the glories of the Lord and words that do describe the glories of the Lord. So this is a distinction between mundane literature and transcendental literature. Another example of the theme is this verse. So transcendental descriptions of the Supreme Lord can free us from the bondage of illusion and restore us to our eternal status as loving servants of Lord. Restore us to our eternal status. What else do we want? Right? 50th verse. Another nice verse. This is one of the favorite verses of Damodar Prabhu. He made us memorize this verse in one of the Bhagavatam classes a couple of years back, before your batch came. Tadeva ramyam ruchiram navam navam.
Tadeva ramyam ruchiram. तदेव शश्वन् मनसो महोत्सवम् तदेव शोकार्णवशोषणम् नृणाम् यदुत्तम श्लोक यशोनुगीयते तदेव रम्यं रुचिरं नवं नवं तदेव शश्वन् मनसो महोत्सवम् तदेव शोकार्णवशोषणम् नृणाम् यदुत्तम श्लोक यशोनुगीयते.
Those words describing the glories of the all famous personality of Godhead are attractive, relishable and ever fresh. Indeed, such words are a perpetual festival for the mind and they dry up the ocean of misery.
Tadeva ramyam, most attractive words are Lord's glories. Ruchiram navam navam, right? Ruchiram means very palatable, very tasty. Right, you can't bring taste to the tongue here, taste to the ear through any other subject matter. Navam navam, why it is tasty? Every morsel you eat, it appears more tasty. Right, you feel like eating more and more. Right, you don't get bored only. Tadeva shashvan manaso mahotsavam, it is a perpetual, constant festival, celebration for the mind. Not only for the ears, for the mind also. Tadeva shokaranava soshanam runam. Then he comes to not only the relishers of Bhagavatam, the sufferers in this material world also. For them, the priority is not to relish something. Priority is to come out of their suffering. Oh, you are looking for that also will happen. Tadeva shokaranava soshanam runam. You are immersed in this ocean of material miseries, Bhagavatam will bring you out of that. Right? Basically, Bhagavatam will give the consciousness to deal with all that. Bhagavatam will give us the consciousness to stay aloof from all the effects of this material miseries. It's not that someone who studies Bhagavatam will not get malaria. That is not the effect.
Yaduttama shloka yesho anugiyate. Uttama shloka yesho anugiyate. If one sings the glories of Lord. Chakravarti Pada writes brilliant purports in... for these verses. 50th verse.
Though Krishna following Prasena went into Jambavan's cave is not pleasant. So Krishna was accused. You are a thief. Satarajit came and said, you have stolen. You came and asked me my Samantaka money. I didn't give you. So you have killed my brother and then have stolen it. So he kind of accused Krishna. So that's not a very pleasant, but still it is pleasant. Tadeva ramyam. Then, though Ram's giving up Sita is not very pleasurable, not ruchiram or ramyam, still it is pleasurable. Then, though the stories of the Lord are old, they are ever new. Navam navam. Right, if you repeatedly read, you will find it newer and newer. Your third batch, I read third time. Fourth batch, I am reading fourth time. Sometimes. So I'm not saying I'm relishing so much, but I'm finding it new and new. Could be because I'm forgetting, but definitely it's not just about forgetfulness. It can appear newer with different perspectives, different meanings, different realizations. Right? Same pastime explained by different devotees. They highlight different facets of the same pastime. Right? If you take one object, it may have four or five faces. But Bhagavatam has unlimited faces. You can see one pastime from various angles, depending on the depth of one's realization, depending on different services that he is handling. Right? He will be relating to one pastime in different ways. So,
navam navam. Tadeva shashvan manaso mahotsavam.
So here he says, though Ram's pursuing Maricha and Ravana stealing Sita destroys the happiness of mind, still it is manaso mahotsavam. Though one falls into the ocean of lamentation from seeing Krishna giving up his wives and sons in Maushala Leela, still that drives up the ocean of lamentation. That is tadeva sokarnava soshanam runam. So although some other things are appearing to be causing soka or causing lamentation or not so relishable, not so new, still all of them are new. for a devotee who relishes them. So that is one explanation given by Chakravarti Pada. Previous verse also he says some things we can study. Now next three verses are repetition of some verses spoken in the previous cantos, especially the first canto. These three are very important because they are coming in the beginning of Bhagavatam and the ending of Bhagavatam. Nayadvachaschitrapadam harerishom jagatpavitram pragrinita karhichit tadvangshatirtham natuham sasevitam yatrachyutastatra hi sadhagomalaha.
Those words that do not describe the glories of the Lord, who alone can sanctify the atmosphere of the whole universe, are considered to be like unto a place of pilgrim for crows, and are never resorted to by those situated in transcendental knowledge. The pure and saintly devotees take interest only in topics glorifying the infallible Supreme Lord.
Tadvag visargo janata ghaviplavo yasmin pratishlokam abadhyavatyapi namanyanantasya yashongkitani yat shrinvanti gayanti ghrinanti sadhavah.
On the other hand, that literature which is full of description of the transcendental glories of the name, fame, forms, pastime and so on of the unlimited Supreme Lord is a different creation, full of transcendental words directed towards bringing about a revolution in the impious lives of this world's misdirected civilization. Such transcendental literature, even though imperfectly composed, are heard, sung and accepted by purified men who are thoroughly honest.
Outside, if you publish a paper and send it to a conference or a journal, if there are some flaws in it, they will never accept it. You will not get any appreciation from all the scholars or scientists and professors, assistant professors, etc. But here, even if a child tries to write a small poem, right? Or he just tries to glorify the Lord. So many devotees would come and glorify him and encourage him and appreciate him like that, appreciating the spirit of glorifying. Even a bumblebee comes and makes some sound that resembles Harikatha, right? Bhringadipe Harikatham Iva Gayamani. And all the other beautiful birds who can make beautiful sounds can take a low profile. Please, my dear bumblebee, you start singing. You start glorifying the Supreme Lord. So that is the glory of Harikatha. Even if it is not very expertly composed also, devotees relish it and glorify it. Right? Not that if they should have some siddhantic deviation. In an innocent way, if somebody glorifies his small, in small way also, if he glorifies the Lord, they appreciate. So, what is that? Anyonyam asit sanjalpa uttama shloka chedasam kauravendra purastrinam sarva shruti manoharam. So, all the innocent, simple ladies of Hastinapur, when they are glorifying Krishna, they are like more relishable than Vedic sounds also, right? Sarva shruti manoharam. Everybody's ears are getting attracted to it, especially Krishna's ears. So that is the glory of glorifying the Lord. If anything directly connected with Supreme Lord, glorifying words, they are glorious.
Naishkarmyamapyachyuta bhava varjitam nashobhate jnanamalam niranjanam kutah punashashvadabhadramishvare nahyarpitam karma yadapyanuttamam.
Knowledge of self-realization, even though free from all material affinity, does not look well if devoid of a conception of the infallible God. What, then, is the use of even the most properly performed fruitive activities, which are naturally painful from the very beginning and transient by nature, if they are not utilized for the devotional service of the Lord?
So the supremacy of devotional service over the other paths, like jnanam,
or karma that is established in this verse. Right? Na shobhate jnanam alam niranjanam. Na ishkarmyam api. Even if one gives up karma and enters jnana also, that is useless. What to speak of karma? Na hi arpitam karma yadapya uttamam. So the karmas, that activities that are not dedicated to the Supreme Lord, what is the use of them? Even jnana cannot give any result. So naishkarmyam.
Yashashriyam eva parishrama paro. Varnashramachara tapasrutadishu. Avismriti Sridharapada Padmayor Gunanuvada Sravanada Radhibhi.
The great endeavor one undergoes in executing the ordinary social and religious duties of Varnashram system, in performing austerities and in hearing from the Vedas, culminates only in the achievement of mundane fame and opulence. But by respecting and attentively hearing the recitation of the transcendental qualities of the Supreme Lord, the husband of the Goddess of Fortune, one can remember his lotus feet.
Hmm. So by respecting and attentively hearing. See, now some people very attentively sit and hear Harikatha. Some people just respect that process. Oh, some visitors would come. They may not have the habit of regularly hearing Harikatha, attending classes. They may not be knowing how many volumes are there in Bhagavatam. What is the difference between Bhagavatam and Mahabharata? When you say Mahabharata, Bhagavatam, right? Bhagavatam means Mahabharata, right? So they get confused among scriptures also. What is Gita, what is that also, they don't know. But if they come to temple and then they see, hey, these people are hearing about Krishna, God. So they kind of appreciate it. They respect, right, the process. That also will give them great benefit. Ajnata Sukriti. So here, a comparison between strictly following the Vedic rules and regulations according to the Varnashram system and the process of hearing is made. So hearing is much superior to following the, just ritualistically following the Vedic rules. Next, 55th verse. Very beautiful verse. Avismriti Krishna Pada Ravindayoho Kshinotya Bhadrani Chashamta Noti Satvasya Suddhim Paramatma Bhaktim Gnanam Cha Vignana Viraga Yuktam.
Remembrance of Lord Krishna's lotus feet destroy everything inauspicious and awards the greatest good fortune. It purifies the hearts and bestows devotion for the Supreme Soul, along with knowledge enriched with realization and renunciation.
Hmm. So, avismritihi. Vismriti means forgetting. Avismriti means not forgetting. Means what?
Remembering.
So, avismritihi Krishna padaravindayor. If one remembers the lotus feet of Krishna, what will happen? Number one. Kshinoti abhadrani. It destroys everything abhadra, inauspicious. Sham tanoti. Tanoti means expanding. Sham means good fortune, auspiciousness. It expands good fortune. Three. Sattvasya shuddhim. Sattva here is heart. It purifies the heart. Then paramatma bhaktim. It increases one's devotion to the Supreme Lord. Jnanam cha vijnana viraga yuktam. It brings one jnana, knowledge, vijnana, realization, along with that viraga, renunciation or detachment. That is also given. So these are the five effects of remembering the lotus feet of the Lord. Right? Avismriti Krishna Pada Ravindayo Kshinotya Bhadrani Chashamta Noti Sattvasya Shuddhim Paramatma Bhaktim Jnanam Cha Vijnana Viraga Yuktam. Next verse. Yuyam Dvijagriya Bata Bhuri Bhaga Yat Shasvadatman Yakhilatma Bhutam
नारायणं देवमदेवमीशम् अजस्रभावा भजय भजता विश्वेश्य
O most eminent of Brahmanas, you are all indeed extremely fortunate, since you have already placed within your hearts Lord Sri Narayana, the personality of Godhead, the supreme controller and ultimate soul of all existence, beyond whom there is no other God. You have undeviating love for him, and thus I request you to worship him. I also have now been fully reminded of the signs of God.
So here he is requesting all the Savanakadi rishis to develop love for Krishna, right? I request you to worship him. I request you to develop love for him, right? So this is the theme of this verse.
Aham cha sam smarita atma tattvam shrutam purame paramarshi vaktrat प्रायोपवेशे नृपते परीक्षितः सदसृषीणां महतां च शृण्वताम्
I also have now been fully reminded of the signs of God, which I previously heard from the mouth of the great sage Shonaka, so Shukadeva Goswami. I was present in the assembly of great sages who heard him speak to King Parikshit as the monarch sat fasting until death.
This is the consciousness of a Bhagavatam speaker. When he speaks, he is not speaking to show off his knowledge. He is not speaking to, you know, exhibit his greatness in front of all the assembled people. He is taking it as an opportunity to become Krishna conscious for 1 hour, 2 hour. In Vidyapeetha case, 3 hours or 3.5 hours. तथापि कीर्तयाम्यंग यथामति यथाश्रुतम् कीर्तिम हरे स्वाम सत्कर्तुम् गिरम अन्याभिदा असतीम इफ आई डोंट यूटिलाइज माय पावर ऑफ स्पीच टू ग्लोरीफाई कृष्णा इट विल रिमेन अनचेस्ट आई विल जस्ट स्पीक प्रेजेंट राइट इफ आई डोंट ग्लोरीफाई कृष्णा आई विल ग्लोरीफाई समवन एल्स समथिंग एल्स राइट इट्स एन अपॉर्चुनिटी फॉर अस टू एब्जॉर्ब इन कृष्णास ग्लोरीज विदाउट गेटिंग स्पेस्ड आउट दैट इज वॉट स्पीकिंग कृष्ण कथा मीन्स Right, while hearing one may doze off or one may, you know, one mind may wander, but while speaking, he cannot afford to be inattentive. Right, he has to focus there. Even if there is a slight inattentiveness while speaking, it is noticed by, you know, 20-30 people. So he is pressurized to be attentive at least. Right, so speaking is basically an opportunity to be Krishna conscious. Now Suta Goswami is saying, I also have now been fully reminded of signs of God. He says, I have taught you these 12 cantos of Bhagavatam. I am so great. He is not saying that. Because of your sincere inquiries, because of your sincere eagerness to know about Krishna, I am reminded of the signs of God. This is a beautiful consciousness. Aham cha samsmarita atma tattvam. I have been reminded because of your questions, your inquiries, your eagerness to hear Krishna Katha. So, the role of audience is equally important in Harikatha, not just speaker. So, speaker has his role to play, but audience also, when they are eager, they will bring out the best out of the speaker. If the audience are dozing off, speaker may not be inspired to continue to speak, right? So, there should be some reciprocation from the hearing party also. When both come together with such great eagerness to discuss about Krishna, with absolutely no other considerations of showing off one's knowledge or gaining some information to use it somewhere else, that scholarship tendencies and all this. So these are all like external considerations. Sometimes they may be needed also, but they are not the primary things. Just come together to glorify Krishna. Then that will bring out the best. Once Vrajvari Prabhu was sharing, once His Holiness Radhana Swami Maharaj gave a class, I think on Nityananda Trayodashi. So he is sitting on Vyasasana and then spoke about Nityananda Prabhu for 1.5 hours or whatever. So that day, I think one Prabhupada disciple, if I remember it correctly, I think Jananivas Prabhu or someone, Pandadanga Prabhu, one of them. So like
So one of them, they were sick, and so Maharaj went to visit them, and so that Prabhu asked, so what did you speak today? So as if Maharaj was giving class only, he sat straight, Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya, and then he spoke for that 1.5 hour, whatever he spoke, right? So that long class with that same eagerness. Whether one person is sitting there or 1,000 people are sitting there, he is there just to glorify Krishna. Like that. So this is the consciousness of a speaker that Bhagavatam is teaching us, right? And all great souls are teaching us. So that we can learn now.
Etadva kathitam vipraha kathaniyoru karmanah mahatnyam vasudevasya sarvashubhavinashanam.
O Brahmanas, I have thus described to you the glories of the Supreme Lord Vasudev, whose extraordinary activities are most worthy of glorification. This narration destroys all that is inauspicious.
Etadva kathitam vipraha, O Brahmanas, I have spoken this Bhagavatam to you. Kathaniyoru karmanaha, kathaniya. Here, this topic, this Bhagavatam is kathaniya, means it's worth describing. There are so many millions of topics, they are not kathaniya. There are so many millions of visions, forms, they are not darshaniya. There are so many topics, they are not shravaniya. Only Bhagavatam is shravaniya, kathaniya, darshaniya, or whatever. Topics related to Krishna, or objects related to Krishna are worth seeing, worth remembering, worth offering obeisances to, worth remembering. So, all our objects of our senses should be directed towards some Krishna conscious object. Right? If there is an element of Krishna in the object that our senses are coming in contact with, we can be in Krishna conscious. We can be in Krishna consciousness. Right? If the objects that we are connecting with are not having a connection with Krishna, of course, each and every object in the entire creation is connected with Krishna. So here, that connection is perceived when we are in Krishna consciousness. We are in proper consciousness. So we need to come in contact with so many sense objects, keeping Krishna in the center. That is the point.
Kathaniyoru karmanaha. Mahatmyam vasudevasya sarva shubha vinashanam.
So this is describing about the Mahatmya, or the glory of Vasudeva, which can completely destroy sarva ashubha, all inauspiciousness.
Yaetat shravayen nityam yamakshanam ananyadhihi slokam ekam tadartham va padam padartham eva va Shraddhavan yonushrunuyat punatyatmanamevasaha.
See the glory of Bhagavatam here.
One who with undeviating attention constantly recites this literature, ya etat shravaye nityam yamakshanam ananyadhihi. Ananyadhihi means with undeviated attention. Right, at every moment of every hour, as well as one who faithfully hears even one verse, slokam ekam, or half a verse, tadartham va, or a single line, padam, or even half a line, padartham eva va, certainly purifies his very self.
One sloka, half sloka, one line of the sloka, or half line of the sloka, that can also purify. We should have faith in these statements. We should develop faith in these statements. What is written here cannot be wrong, right? What is wrong is if we don't completely believe it. Right? We should have belief.
Dvadashyam eka dashyam va srinvan ayushyavan bhavet patatyanasnan prayataha puto bhavati patakat.
One who hears this Bhagavatam on the Ekadashi or Dvadashi day.
Today is Ekadashi. Tomorrow is Dvadashi. Right? How many weekday Ekadashis have passed in the last 2 years? So many. Year has 24 Ekadashis. So 24 plus 24, 52. 48 Ekadashis in 2 years. So just for argument's sake, we'll consider say 30 Ekadashis fall on weekdays and you're hearing Bhagavata.
That meant Dvadashis also.
So what will happen?
You will have long life. Long life.
You will have a long life now. That many Dvadashis. And one who recites it with careful attention while fasting is purified of all sinful reaction. You have to fast also. Vari rice is also fasting. Pushkare Mathurayam cha Dvaravatyam yatatmavan Uposhya samhitam etam Pathitva muchyate bhayat.
One who controls his mind fast at the holy places Pushkara, Mathura or Dwarka and studies these scriptures will be freed from all fear.
Next. Devata manaya siddha pitaro manavo nrupaha yachanti kaman grinataha srinvato yasya kirtanat.
Upon the person who glorifies this Purana by chanting or hearing it, the demigods, sages, siddhas, pitas, manus, and kings of the earth bestow all desirable things.
So, even demigods also become favorable to these hearers.
Rucho yajum shishamani dvijo dhityanu vindate madhukulya ghritakulya payakulyascha tatphalam.
By studying this Bhagavatam, a Brahmana can enjoy the same rivers of the honey, ghee and milk he enjoys by studying the hymns of the Rig, Yajur and Sam Vedas.
Purana samhitam etam adhitya prayato dvija proktam bhagavata yattu tatpadam paramam vrajet.
A Brahmana who diligently reads this essential compilation of all the Puranas will go to the supreme destination which the Supreme Lord Himself has herein described.
Next. So, to inspire people who have material desires, some more such temporary or secondary results are mentioned now. Right? Ultimately, the subject matter of Bhagavatam is bhakti. The goal of Bhagavatam is prema, Krishna prema. So you do bhakti to attain Krishna prema. So that is the theme of Bhagavatam, the purpose of Bhagavatam. So some other secondary results are also given here.
Vipro dityapnuyat prajnam rajanyoda dhimekhalam Vaishyo nidhipatitvam cha Sudra sudhyeta patakat. A Brahmana who studies the Srimad Bhagavatam achieves firm intelligence in devotional service. A king who studies it gains sovereignty over the earth. A Vaishya acquires great treasure and a Shudra is freed from sinful reactions.
So supreme, the Srimad Bhagavatam is much superior to other literatures because Lord is glorified here. Karim, that is the theme of 66th verse.
Kalimala samhati karano khilesho harir itarata nagiyate yabhikshnam ihato punar bhagavan asesha murtihi paripatito anupadam katha prasangaihi. Lord Hari, the supreme controller of all beings, annihilates the accumulated sins of the age Kali. Yet other literatures do not constantly glorify him. But that supreme personality of Godhead, appearing in his innumerable personal expansions, is abundantly and constantly described throughout the various narrations of this Srimad Bhagavatam.
Okay, next, 67th verse. He is offering obeisances to the Lord who created this Bhagavatam. Tamaham ajamanantam atmatattvam jagadudayasthiti samyamatma shaktim jupatibhir ajasakra shankaradyair duravasati sattvam achyutam natosmi.
I bow down to that unborn and infinite supreme soul whose personal energies effect the creation, maintenance and destruction of the material universe. Even Brahma, Indra, Shankara and the other lords of the heavenly planets cannot fathom the glories of that infallible personality of Godhead.
Mm-hmm. Chakravarti explains this verse. I bow to the unborn lord. Are you offering respects to Brahma, Ajaha? So he says Ajaha. Tamaham ajam anantam atmatattvam. No, I offer respects to the unlimited Lord, anantam. Then, oh, is this pradhana? No, he is the very form of consciousness, atmatattvam. Is this jiva? No, he possesses powers for creating, maintaining and destroying. Jagat udaya sthiti samyam atma shaktim. So, is this Shiva? No, the praises of the devatas such as Brahma and Shiva do not understand him. He is Achyuta, Krishna. Next, 68. Upachitanava shakti visva atmani uparachita sthira jangama laya bhagavata upalabdhi matra dhamne surarshabhaya namah sanatanaya.
I offer my obeisances to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is the eternal Lord and the leader of all other deities, who by evolving his nine material energies has arranged within himself the abode of all moving and non-moving creatures, and who is always situated in pure transcendental consciousness.
Mm. Next, Svasukhani bhruta chetas tadvyudastanya bhavo yajita ruchira lila krishna sarasta diyam yatanuta kripaya yastatva deepam puranam tamakhila vrijanaghnam vyasasunam natosmi.
Let me offer my respectful obeisances unto my spiritual master, the son of Vyasadeva, Shukadev Goswami. It is he who defeats all inauspicious things within this universe. Although in the beginning he was absorbed in the happiness of Brahman realization and was living in a secluded place, giving up all other types of consciousness, he became attracted by the pleasing, most melodious pastimes of Lord Sri Krishna. He therefore mercifully spoke this supreme Purana, Srimad Bhagavatam, which is a bright light of the absolute truth and which describes the activities of the Lord.
So here he is offering obeisances to his spiritual master, Sukadeva Goswami. Right? Obeisances to acharyas is a must. Without offering respectful obeisances to Sukadeva Goswami and other acharyas, one cannot possibly gain the privilege of entering into the deep meaning of Bhagavatam. So without the explanations of acharyas, we are lost. We cannot understand the meaning of Bhagavatam. So when you take their explanations, we have to be grateful to them. We have to offer obeisances to them also. Right? Yairidrishi bhagavato gatiratmavada ekantato nigamabhish pratipaditanaha tushyanti adabhara karuna svakrutena nityam konama tat pratikaroti vinoda patram. So who is that person who can repay the debt of acharyas who have explained this scripture so nicely? They have put it in writing. They have not written. Then how will we understand this? They have written in Sanskrit. Their most recent acharyas, they are translating it into English, right? So we have to be grateful to them. Without putting this subject matter in a language understandable by the modern man, scriptures are inaccessible to them. So many commentaries are there, they are in Sanskrit, we hardly understand Sanskrit, they are inaccessible. Okay, some devotees who are, you know, putting them in a language that is understandable for them, we are very grateful to them. So many senior devotees have studied these purports and then explained to us, right? That's why we are able to understand more. So whoever is assisting us in understanding this great supreme literature, so we offer all our respects and obeisances to them. We are very grateful to them eternally, right? So we will take a break and we will discuss the next chapter. There's another nectar shower. Radha Gopinath.